The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Good morning. We start with breaking news at Darwin, where three people have escaped from the Howard Springs COVID quarantine facility. Talia Sava is there for us. Talia, good morning. There's a search underway right now.
Yes, that's right, Davina. Good morning to you. We've been told the trio scaled the fence in the early hours of this morning. Police receiving reports around 4:40 a.m. Now, major police checkpoints have been set up around Howard Springs for the past several hours. As you can see in these pictures, they've been conducting thorough searches in car boots, checking vehicle registrations, cars and buses alike. But in the last half an hour, what we understand is they've actually been dismantled. Exactly why, that hasn't been confirmed. Hopefully good news. We're also not sure yet who these people are connected with, whether it's a repatriation flight or those Aboriginal community members who have been staying here.
I bet they're hoping they're not Aboriginals, because then that'll put them in a little bit of a difficult position if you have the minorities escaping from these detention centers. This is in Australia, of all places. Totally normal, I guess. Detention centers for those that have gotten the COVID, a virus that an overwhelming majority of people, young and old, recover from. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us and for joining our growing audience. You can get to the audio stream of this show with our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3. And you get to the live video stream exclusively. It's offered at our website, thetrumpet.com. thetrumpet.com/live takes you to the live stream page and also to the podcast page where you can listen to this show on demand. I think it was back, you guys in the control room will have to look into this from last April or May. We played, I believe he was a New York Times columnist, and he was talking about these detention facilities in China. The Chinese authorities would just come and basically pull people out of their homes and force them into these detention centers. And this New York Times author, I believe it was New York Times, he was talking about how, well, really, I mean, these detention centers are, they're actually kind of nice. And he made it sound like it was Club Med. Yeah, they did dancing lessons. Remember this? This was from like a year and a half ago. And on this show, we were saying the thinking of these elites in our nations, they think just like the CCP. Well, now look at where we are. In the Northern Territory, in Australia, where there's hardly any people. And they're putting people in these detention centers. This is from Mr. Gunner. We played this clip yesterday. Well, play clip 13.
If you are anti-mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax. I don't care what your personal vaccination status is. Your personal vaccination status is utterly irrelevant. And if you are out there in any way, shape or form campaigning against this mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax. If you say pro-persuasion, stuff it, shove it. And I will never back away from supporting vaccines. And anyone out there who comes for the mandate, you are anti-vax.
So there's your premier in the Northern Territory. The perfect name, by the way, Michael Gunner. Omicron! The Omicron is coming, and you've got this premier gunning for people, putting them in jail, putting them in detention centers. Listen to this. It says, Mr. Gunner said the isolation and quarantine was pretty hard for some people, used to being close to family and community. Imagine that. These people that are used to being with their families in a community, it is hard to force them into detention centers. He said the escape could mean, he's talking about these three, there's a manhunt going on Well, it's over now. I'll get to that in just a second. He said the escape could mean an extension of the time the teenagers were required to stay in quarantine. I mean, you may have to stay in there longer now just because you got out, just because you escaped. It says here, absconding from Howard Springs isn't just dangerous, it's incredibly stupid. This is quoting Gunner. Because we will catch you and there will be consequences. Commissioner Chalker said CCTV coverage would be increased at the facility. There's not enough of that in Ephraimite nations. I speak in jest. It says here they'd be increased at the facility, but it was not possible for officers to be stationed at all possible exit points. He said fines of $5,000 applied to breaches of chief health officer direction. So pretty steep fines. Threats to stay in the quarantine facility even longer. We have an article at the website, thetrumpet.com. Just now, it's going to be in the January edition of our Trumpet magazine. But it's posted, it's featured at the website right now, thetrumpet.com. It's by Andrew Miller. It's titled, A Weapon to Transform America. This is transforming our nations right before our eyes. The focus here, of course, is on America, but look at what's happening in Australia. Look at what's happening in Britain. Andrew Miller says, how can we solve the threat posed by the virus? Surprise, the solution, according to socialists and communists, is to force through what socialists and communists have been demanding for decades. This is right out of the communist playbook. And COVID is it's the pretext they needed all along. To force you their way. They know what's good for you. They know how to run your life better than you know how to run your life. It says here, this is not about public health. This is about political power. Vaccine mandates and COVID passports are largely ineffective for containing a virus, but extremely useful for establishing a communist-style surveillance state in the United States. In the Northern Territory, in Australia, in New Zealand. It's very useful to establish a police state, a surveillance state. It says here, the central planners behind the COVID-19 pandemic present themselves as champions of the poor, but they're not much different from the aristocracy that governed Israel in Jeroboam's time. He goes through some of that history and the prophecy about blotting out even the name of Israel. It's a communist attack. Herbert Armstrong was right. He was talking about the communist infiltration back in the 1940s and 50s. And people back then, they just, you know, they brushed it aside. Oh, Joseph McCarthy, he's just scaring people. And now look at our universities. Look at the propagandists in the media. Look at the health officials in all of the Western nations. As we pointed out yesterday, the Northern Territory, sparsely populated, zero deaths, just a few hundred infections, that's all. And the manhunt begins as soon as three people escape. Listen to this from The Guardian. It says, Northern Territory police have arrested three people, so they caught these guys. They've arrested three people who escaped from Darwin's Howard Springs COVID-19 facility earlier this morning. Why would they want to escape? I mean, they probably had dance lessons. They probably were able to play cards. I mean, come on. It's basically one step removed from Club Med. Yet for some reason, they wanted to get out, these three. It says all three tested negative for COVID and have now been taken into custody. Doesn't matter if you're negative. You're in custody. You're in jail. Because you escaped the Northern Territory Detention Center for COVID victims. It says here, police and staff at the Center for National Resilience are currently confirming the absconders' identities prior to releasing further information. Howard Springs has a large open-air facility that's being used to quarantine Australians returning from overseas. It's also housing a number of residents from Katherine and surrounding areas where an outbreak of COVID-19 erupted last month. So it's not just travelers coming in from overseas. There was an outbreak in this area, Katherine, and they're going just like the CCP did last year. They're going and taking and putting people into detention. It says here the alleged escape comes a day after a returned traveler tested positive for the Omicron variant in the facility, and the territory continues to fight COVID outbreaks in remote communities. That's about all that they have there, just remote communities. Last year, the cure is killing us. Remember that? That was all the way back to May. To May of last year. This is well before Omicron and Delta and all the other variants and the vaccine even. Months before the vaccine, we were just coming into the lockdowns. May of 2020 in the Trumpet. It says, together with the radical left, the Democrat media complex, the WHO, and China's communist government, plenty of Western scientists and medical experts were available to create terrifying models, charts, graphs, and reports to show that COVID-19 was a catastrophe in the making. You remember this? The London University, the Neil Ferguson was his name, and working together with Fauci and Birx, and how that millions and millions and millions of people were going to die direct from COVID. We now know that only 6% of the so-called COVID deaths have died from COVID. That's the statistic in the United States. And the United States is the worst. It's something like a 99 point whatever percent recovery rate right across the board. And those that actually do die, there's on average 3 to 4 comorbidities. And then we learn about Omicron and how that this variant is mild. It's not even deadly. And yet, as if right on cue, here comes Fauci and friends. All through the weekend, Monday morning, you heard the clips on this show. We played them for you. We've got to lock everything down. Joe Biden, the fake president, he's supposed to announce more restrictions. And, of course, they're trying to force through the vaccine mandates. And they're having quite a lot of success in doing it, at least in blue states and blue cities run by communist mayors and governors. So these three guys, they test negative, and yet they go into custody. They're in jail because if you're in a quarantine center in the Northern Territory, you don't break out of that facility. You don't climb over the fence or whatever it was and leave without getting into some serious trouble. In the May issue last year, we said, is it a coincidence that these dire predictions have major political ramifications? Is it a coincidence that the solutions demanded by the press and the political left are massive socialistic interventions? Is the coronavirus reaction interrupting the radical leftist agenda, or is it part of it? It's all part of the agenda. This is why it didn't go away after they stole the election last year. That's what many of us thought. Well, as soon as they steal, if they pull off the steal, then COVID's going to disappear. It never did. It's too useful for them to amass power. They're drunk on power. These communist leaders, these communist health officials. Listen to the Prime Minister of New Zealand as she relaxes some of the lock. They're still doing massive lockdowns in New Zealand. And listen to this woman as she dials it back just ever so slightly. This is Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, clip 5.
And importantly, because I know this is a question many Aucklanders have, you can now see family and friends again in their homes and use the bathroom inside. Luxury.
Wow, you can use the bathroom now. In a friend's home, you can actually go in and see some family in another house. How did this all start? Well, you know, 15 days, just to slow the spread. Just give us 15 days and then it's back to normal. 15 days goes by and, well, we need more. We need lockdowns. We need travel restrictions. We need double masks. And on it went. And, of course, as soon as the vaccine rolled out at the end of last year, early part of this year, just get the double jab, everything's solved. And hundreds of millions of people in our Western nations have done that. A large majority, evidently, here in the United States. I'm not sure I believe all the statistics on that. I mean, if the government's lying about so many other things, they could certainly be lying about how many people have gotten the jab. But leave that aside. A lot of people have gotten it. You see lines at the drugstores. And the double jab was supposed to solve everything. Remember, it was 96, 97% sure to protect you from getting the virus. And then they all started getting the virus again. Well, I mean, it's to protect you from dying. And then in the one case, remember, the person that died, well, it could have been so much worse if I hadn't gotten the jab, said the family members. So much worse than death, evidently. Here's an article from May 11th. This is at thetrumpet.com. May 11th, 2020. The coronavirus crisis is giving power to a classic elitist idea. They can run your life for you better than you can. Tomorrow's news today. I mean, we were telling you at the earliest stages of this plandemic, this scamdemic of what was really going on here. And now you listen to these health officials telling you what's good for you, what's good for your children. And you see the same spirit. It's not just with respect to COVID. You see it in those boardroom, those school board meetings. We know, the government knows how to raise children, not parents. Come on. Listen to this health secretary from the UK, clip 10.
First, it advised that the minimum dose interval for booster jabs should be halved, from 6 months to 3 months. Second, that the booster program should be expanded to include all remaining adults aged 18 and above. Fourth, that severely immunosuppressed people aged 16 or above who've received three primary doses should now also be offered a booster dose. Finally, that children aged between 12 and 15 should be given a second dose 12 weeks from the first dose. I have accepted this advice in full.
Of course he has. He's accepted the advice in full from whatever reporter. It's probably Big Pharma. Like I said, with Fauci, Big Pharma, you hear the same? These Big Pharma guys, the fact that they're coming on, and a lot of them are on CNBC. I mean, they're talking to their shareholders. The Moderna people, the Pfizer people, the CEOs of those companies, they're going on CNBC talking about how they're concerned about your health. And meanwhile, like you saw yesterday, you see their stock prices just skyrocketing, and sometimes it's on the same screen. What a racket. Billions and billions. You're talking, if it's as this guy just said, now, you know, 6 months booster shot, we got to close that window every 3 months. Now we're at 12 weeks. If you're young and you've gotten the dose, you need another one in 12 weeks. It never ends, doesn't it? We talk about how that this is pulling in billions and billions of dollars. You carry this out, not even just a few years from now. You're talking trillions. Trillions of dollars. It's like a massive bailout of Big Pharma. And all the therapeutics that actually deal with the virus, those are all dangerous. It's just the drug. It's just the drug that's so costly. But that's okay. The government will pay for it. In other words, you pay for it. You, the taxpayer. This is from an article we had earlier this summer. July 2021. Gotten your jab yet? We asked. This is thetrumpet.com. It says here, now the campaign has transitioned to pressure everyone to get vaccinated. It includes a mix of feel-good advertising, shaming, and fear-mongering. It's marked by the same propagandistic and deceitful techniques that were used for the lockdown campaign. It says the right to choose is being squeezed out, And once the government grabs that much power over people's rights, including your health, you can be sure it won't give it up. You think they're ever going to dial it back? You think they're ever going to give up power that they've amassed during this scamdemic? Of course not. You'd be foolish to think that. They know what's good for you. We've got Omicron, after all. So we need to close the gap and get those boosters more frequently. There's people that are now on to their fourth shot. And we know nothing about the long-term adverse effects of this toxic substance. Short-term, yeah, 20,000 deaths in the United States, just in 1 year's time, that we know of. But, I mean, that's a small price to pay. 20,000 Americans dying because of the vaccine, directly because of the vaccine, and a lot of them young people. We got to do it, though. I mean, it's the vaccine. It's from Big Pharma. It's endorsed by Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins. Rochelle Walensky, she's endorsed it. All the alphabet companies or agencies, FDA, CDC, everyone's behind it. Listen to this lunatic on CNBC just yesterday, clip 4.
With the new Omicron variant sweeping the globe, how do we finally put an end to this pandemic? How do we save lives and get business back to normal so everybody can put dinner on the table? Simple. The federal government needs to require vaccines, including booster shots, for everyone in America by, say, January 1st. We have immunocompromised people who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic. So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it.
Yeah, have the military enforce this in the United States of America. Require every American to get vaccinated by the end of this year. By the end of this month. We're into December now. 1 month and have the military enforce it. How many shares of Pfizer or Moderna or both does this guy own? Here he is. If I were him, I would stick to the stocks. But now he's a health expert, I guess. And who knows how many stocks for these big pharma companies he's invested in. And he says everyone should get the shot. It's mandatory in his mind. Listen to Rand Paul pointing out what should be obvious to everyone in the United States. This is clip 3.
It's sort of a way of ending all debate, because if you attack him or have any debate over any of his edicts or his mandates, you're attacking science. But this is a very, very dangerous sort of idea. The idea that a government bureaucrat represents science and that he is now untouchable, that it is sort of like you are now contradicting the all high priest of science if you say anything. And the thing is, there's never been any debate because he's the all-powerful scientist. You're not to question him. Just do as you're told. So with him, it's more about submission.
He's talking there about Anthony Fauci, of course. He is science. We played that clip for you on Monday. So he's not to be questioned. The spirit motivating these people, that commentator you just heard, Fauci, just submit. If we put you in a quarantine facility, you stay there until we let you out. They sneak out, they're tested negative. Still, they're going into custody for trying to get out of Club Med. I told you, the same spirit. You see it in the school board meetings as well. The DOJ lowering the boom on parents. Who are you? Who are you to think you should have a say in what's taught at your child's school? Two fathers. This is in Texas. A red state. Two fathers were upset with what was happening. It was regarding masks. And the fact that in a school board meeting, there were hardly any chairs in there. And they couldn't get in. And they were upset. We want to have our say. We want to be able to speak up. Listen to this report coming from a Texas school district. This is Round Rock, Texas, clip 14.
Shame on you. Communists! Communists! Let the public in!
That man, Dustin Clark, and another, Jeremy Story, who was outside the main meeting room, were arrested Friday and charged.
Spent the night in the jail.
Charged with hindering proceedings by disorderly conduct.
Mr. Clark, you have to leave.
A spokesperson for Round Rock ISD says while this is still being investigated, the men were charged for issues at this week's meeting and previous meetings. She said there were concerns that their actions created a, quote, potentially threatening environment for students, staff, and community members present and hindered official proceedings.
We don't feel like we created any sort of animosity or environment.
After being released from jail Saturday morning, KXAN caught up with Story and Clark. They feel they're being targeted for speaking out against what they believe was a violation of the Open Meetings Act.
There was no reason to not have more chairs.
Attendees and even a few board members believed more people should have had access to the main meeting room to participate in the discussion about whether the mask mandate would be extended.
Okay, point of order, guys. Guys, please stop.
The school district says they had it that way because of COVID-19.
Aha, of course. Of course, we don't have space for parents to speak out in this meeting because of COVID. Always because of COVID. So the fathers can't even get in there. But thankfully, the authorities arrested them and took them into custody. And they spent the night in jail. We got to get these guys off the streets. We've got to take those three young people in Northern Territory, Australia, and put them in jail. Well, they sneaked out of the quarantine facility. And meanwhile, you've got this epidemic of crime. It's just all, here in the United States anyway, it's out of control. This report out of Oakland, you've seen the stories of all these looters. They just pull up, they smash the window, they go in with the COVID mask. They've got the COVID mask on. Also happens to conceal their identity. And then they just rob the place. In some cases, in broad daylight, cameras are rolling. The one crime ring had as many as 80 looters. Just went right in and out of the store. The guy in this next report, he has been robbed. His store has been robbed four times. He only opened it last year. And he opens it in the lockdown pandemic phase of America's history. So at least he's trying. If it's not COVID that's going to wipe out the business, it's out of control looting. Listen to this guy in this report coming out of Oakland, clip 9.
There are people who logically do not want to come downtown, do not want to risk being involved in any kind of physical altercations with people, either saving the goods in their car or being witness to it in a store. And again, it feels like, you know, the police are so short staffed that they're not visible through no fault of their own. And there's no city or public officials that are out talking to us, you know, to find out either what they can do or to hear from them what they are doing. So all of it just feels like kind of a big ball of like frustration and wondering. And then sometimes in some cases, just feeling, you know, like maybe there is no way out.
I mean, he's putting it, he's being nice about it. He's basically wondering if he should even keep his business open. He can't just go on having his windows and doors smashed in. It's happening all over the place. This is from CBS Chicago. For the first time in more than 30 years, there have been more than 1,000 homicides in Cook County, including 777 in Chicago alone. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office, as of Tuesday, the county's homicide total stands at 1,009, with more than a month still to go in 2021. Says here, the last time Cook County had more than 1,000 homicides in one year was in 1994. Further up, it says, of those, 927 homicides were gun-related. People were just shooting each other right and left in Chicago and the surrounding area. But don't worry, because the authorities are going to go after the ones sneaking out of detention centers. And those dads that get a little too vocal outside the school board meetings, put them in jail. How many of these murderers are even caught? It's just a tiny fraction. And the carnage continues. The violence continues. But we just ignore it. We ignore it. The communists in the media, they just ignore Chicago. There's nothing to report there. They ignore it like they do Waukesha. There's nothing to report there because it was a communist, black supremacist that mowed down those people. There's footage yesterday. There's not a lot of sound with this, but here's a few seconds of this. You can go ahead and roll the tape. There's this 16-year-old. He just got let out of the children's hospital. You have his father or whoever there lifting him out of the car, and he's limping over to the wheelchair. He's got braces over his back. That's out of Wisconsin. That guy was mowed down by Daryl Brooks, the black supremacist. 60 injured, including 18 children. Six people killed, including an 8-year-old boy. This is from a Wisconsin newspaper. It says Teagues, that's the guy's name, Eric Teagues, 16. Eric Teagues had his eyes set on a college baseball career. He's a pitcher and an outfielder for his high school team and made the Waukesha Sticks Academy, where he planned to play, where he planned on playing travel ball around the country this summer. Not going to be able to do that now. It says Teagues said it all depends on how Eric does. That's the father speaking for his son. It depends on how Eric does in physical therapy to decide if he will play ball again. Eric suffered many injuries, serious injuries, including a C4 spinal fracture, 5 broken ribs, a collapsed lung, a fractured skull, and a broken femur. Now, you'll recall that Wisconsin, Kenosha, went up in flames last year for 3 days because Jacob Blake was shot in the back and was paralyzed because of it. He had just beat up his girlfriend. He was resisting arrest. He was reaching for a knife, and the police shot him. And all of Kenosha goes up in flames. Now, here's a kid who's practically paralyzed, and the media won't even tell you about it. They won't even report it. Because, well, really, it didn't happen. Because it was a black perpetrator, so we can't talk about that. That's the kind of violence that it just really doesn't even exist. It can't happen. It's like the transgender rape. It can't happen. Time magazine told us it doesn't happen. There's no threat of left-wing violence. You had a senator just this week basically threaten the Supreme Court. There's the big case today over abortion and the state of Mississippi. And a sitting senator from New Hampshire who says to the Supremes, you better be listening to the people of America, because if you make the wrong decision here, well, there could be a revolution. And these are the same people that want to say Donald Trump incited a riot on January 6th. It wasn't even a riot. And it was incited by left-wing agents that had infiltrated that protest, whether from Antifa or from the FBI. Listen to Newt Gingrich as he talks about the criminal, really, the criminals in the news media that just simply won't tell you about this crippled boy or the 6 people that were murdered by that black supremacist. This is clip 1.
In the identity politics, of the Democratic left, the wrong person was the killer and the wrong people were killed. Had that been a white racist killing 8 black people and wounding another 40, this would be the huge national story. There'd be riots in 100 cities. We'd all be expected to say the right things. But it's a non-event because it is actually an African-American who had posted racist comments, anti-white comments, who had posted that you can use a vehicle to kill people. Mm-hmm. Now, that's simply not something they're going to deal with. And I'll tell you this. The American people aren't stupid. If they get to choose next year between a party that believes we need, truck control and a party that believes we need criminal control, I have a hunch the criminal control party is going to wipe out the truck control party. And that's where we're at. These people are crazy.
These people are crazy. That's really putting it nicely. These people are communists through and through. It's more than infiltration. They've taken over. They're in control in so many places throughout our nations. They're in control. And a lot of this is talked about in America Under Attack. Call our operators today and request your free copy. Toll free, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Herbert W. Armstrong, when he'd talk about why God's people are called out of this world and into the true church, what the purpose is behind all of that, he would explain that, well, God brings us into his church so that we can be taught and trained and prepared for our role in assisting Jesus Christ in the wonderful world of tomorrow and beyond, to help him teach all of mankind, to teach them the truth about the true gospel, to teach them God's laws, to teach them about God's government, to teach them about their incredible human potential. But he would also explain, as Mr. Armstrong, that is, that God brought us out of this present evil world in advance so that we could help to support the end time work of God. He brought us into the church so that we could help do the work. This is from 1974, a quote from Mr. Armstrong. It says, God's church is proclaiming to the whole world the very gospel God sent to mankind by Jesus Christ, and no one else is or has for 18 and a half centuries. He says to God's people, your part in that work is the only reason you were called to conversion now, before the time of the kingdom of God. So there, I mean, he pretty much says, look, it's exclusively because of the work. And, of course, during the ministry of Herbert Armstrong, there were tens of thousands of members in the Worldwide Church of God who supported him. He was God's apostle. They were brought out of this world and into the Worldwide Church of God to help support the work. Notice Matthew 25 and verse 1. It says here, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So really, they all made the mistake of slumbering. But at least 5 of them had enough oil left in their lamp to fuel those lamps. My father wrote this in a coworker letter about 10 years ago. He said, I think we sometimes forget how often God's people have failed to do his work. God wanted his church to deliver his message around the world in every era since Christ's first coming. It says the first century church did just that until the people lost their first love. We can see that in a moment in Revelation 2. But just looking at the history of God's church, as he says there, we don't often think about just how many of God's own people have failed Look at how many have turned away from the truth and have fallen away in these last days. The seventh and final era of God's church. It's called the Laodicean era in Revelation 3. And it's characterized for being lukewarm, rich and increased with physical goods. And God says they're going to have to go into the Great Tribulation to just be reminded of why God brought them into the church in the first place. In that coworker letter from 10 years ago, my father said, God sets a very high goal for his church, but they rarely get that message to the world. It says, the Philadelphia Church of God is taking God's message to the world. We must not slumber and sleep. We must get God's message to this dying world. Our reward depends on it. It says, we're only 5% of God's people today. What he's saying there is that 95% that were exposed to the truth, that responded to the truth during the ministry of Mr. Armstrong, that came out of the world and into the worldwide Church of God, they've since become Laodicean. They've become lukewarm in their so-called Christianity. God says in Revelation 3, I wish they were hot or cold. We're only 5% of God's people today, but we're the only ones who will do God's work. 95% of God's own people rebelled and became lukewarm. 95% fell away from the truth. You can look at 2 Thessalonians 2, another prophecy that has been fulfilled. We've seen it happen. Notice Revelation 3 and verse 7. Here God is addressing the Philadelphia era. Of course, there's a Philadelphia remnant, a small, as my father said, 5%. Scattered over the earth that are doing God's work. Verse 7 of Revelation 3, it says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. So Christ, he's the one that opens the doors. He's the one that backs his church with authority and with power. He's the one that is the head of the church. You can read about that organization in 1 Corinthians 12. Christ is the head. Notice verse 8, it says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name or my authority. See, God knows where his Philadelphians are, those that they might only have a little strength physically. They might have only a little strength in terms of numbers and resources. But if they're faithfully supporting God's work, you can be sure that God's going to be opening doors for his work. In chapter 2, Revelation, it speaks of the first era of God's church, the Ephesus era, that took the message of God around the known world of that day. And it says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Verse 5 says, remember therefore from whence you are fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place except you repent. And so God says to these Christians from the first century, of course, this history is now past, long since, but he says, look, the solution here, if you grow lukewarm toward the end, if you veer off course toward the end, if you don't really endure to the end the way that you should, is to go back and do the first works. Remember that mindset, that focus that you had coming out of the world and into God's church, and you see it from time to time in our church, the Philadelphia Church of God, and you see how excited people are. We see this when we go to campaigns all over the world. And they're responding to God's truth. They're filled with excitement and joy. Their minds have been opened to the truth, whereas before they were closed shut. And they come along, and, well, we went through the parable of the sower and the seeds in a previous program not too long ago. And it is important that you find fertile ground and that you take root and that you develop a good, strong spiritual root system so that you're not just ripped apart at the first sign of trouble, at the first storm that comes along. My father said here, God is reminding us of that responsibility. We must deliver God's message. Don't forget about why you were brought into the church in the first place. You were called to support the work, to take this gospel message right around the world, to support the headquarters operation right here in Edmond, Oklahoma. Back in Mr. Armstrong's day, it was Pasadena, California. It says, God is telling us that we need a greater urgency, more sacrificing in this work, because it's almost over. It says you could be wrapped up in pleasures and things of this world and not even realize that. But if we're keyed into God's prophecies the way we should be, we're going to know. I mean, look what you hear in the first segment of this show every day. This world is falling apart. Our nations are under attack. Our nations are full of sin. There's a sickness from head to toe, as Isaiah the prophet said. This is prophesied. We're living in the last days. We're living in dangerous times, 2 Timothy 3:1. 2 Timothy 3:13 says that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. We're seeing that. We're living through it. It's building, all of this violence, all of this evil, all of this perversion. It's building toward great tribulation. And Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22 says it would wipe everyone out were it not for God's intervention in the affairs of men. Thank God for his intervention. Thank God for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. An event spoken of in literally hundreds of prophecies, at least about the return and the events that transpire following his return. It's all over the Bible. It's talked about from beginning to end. And yet nobody speaks of it. I told you the other day, we went through, I think it was Monday, some of the parables, and almost all of them, they pertain to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that's soon to be set up and established on this earth. And you don't hear about it in the world of traditional Christianity. Incredibly, you just don't hear about it. They blot that out. Satan, he loves blotting out the truth. He doesn't want you to know about the soon coming return of Jesus Christ. So that gets erased. It gets deleted. In the Key of David booklet, my father says, that's why the whole world can see the Philadelphian work. The open door, the message is sent around the globe. The open door or work is what identifies God's true church to the earth's inhabitants. The Laodiceans or lukewarm church has no Key of David vision and no open door to the world. So that's how you know. I mean, you've got to prove where the church of God is. Jesus said he would build his true church. He didn't come and say, look, I'm going to build this universal church system. And then maybe 1,400, 1,500 years into it, then I'll inspire people to break away from it, to protest against the authority of that mother church. And then those that break away can then split apart and break away into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of denominations. And then those denominations, with all of their differences and different doctrinal teachings and disputes among one another as they spread over all the earth, that's the church. That's the church spoken of in the Bible. No, that's the great false church and all of the protesting daughters. Oh, yes, you can prove this. You should get our booklet, The True History of God's True Church, and read about it. Read about what happened in the first century. Read about the original apostles who were persecuted, who were made martyrs, who were sawed in half, who were beheaded. That's the way the world has responded to God's people and God's work over the ages, over the centuries. That's the way they responded to the ministry of Christ. They crucified him. And then they wanted to do the same thing to the disciples of Christ. Read the book of Acts and see what happens when the persecution sets in. God's people were scattered. Well, for fulfilling his purposes in these last days, God did call out tens of thousands of people to come along and to support Herbert W. Armstrong and the work of the Philadelphia era of God's church. That was the sixth era, but as I say, the seventh and final era, the Laodicean era, God prophesied that an entire church era would fall away from the church, the truth, I should say, would fall away from the truth. Most, my father said, 95%. And so just a few are hanging on to the truth of God and doing the work of God. Just a few are doers, not hearers only, but they're engaged, they're involved, they're actively supporting God's work and growing as a result. Notice what Paul said in Colossians 4:2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying, also for us, Paul said. Pray for us. He tells the brethren here, pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Well, looky there, the Apostle Paul, he was in prison for preaching the true gospel. I mean, that's just been the history. God's servants being persecuted for speaking the truth. And so Paul says here, pray for us. Pray for the message to go out. Pray for it to be given free course. You can look at 2 Thessalonians 3:1 on your own time. I don't know if I'll have time to go there. But it says in verse 4, pray that I may make it, the gospel message, manifest as I ought so to speak. Or the Revised Standard says, pray that I make it clear as I ought to speak. I mean, pray that this message, that it would unfold in the way that it should, that it would be received with joy, at least among those who've had their minds open to the truth. So many, of course, were fighting against it. That's the way it is when you're delivering God's truth, when you're delivering God's message in this present evil world. Satan hates it. He hates the true gospel. He hates God's work. He hates the people of God supporting that work. But the more that you do it, the more that you realize that you've been called to support the work of God and to be trained as teachers for those responsibilities we'll have in the wonderful world of tomorrow, but the more you understand, assuming God has opened your mind to the truth and is in the process, at least, of bringing you out of this present evil world and into his family, know this, that in doing that, God's bringing you in for a purpose. And it's a wonderful blessing and benefit to be able to put your heart into that work of God, the most important work on earth. In the Good News magazine from May of 1974, it says, God's work is a work of giving the gospel of the kingdom of God. All these materials, these booklets that we offer on this program, we just give it away freely. Freely give, freely receive, said Jesus. Just get the message out and trust me, God says. Trust that I'll provide the means for you to do it. Just come along and really pour your heart into the work of giving. Mr. Armstrong said, in 40 years, I have observed that only those whose hearts are in this great work are themselves growing spiritually. If you come out of this world and into God's church or family and pour your heart into the work of God, then you will grow spiritually and build the character of God. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can write us td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show. and we'll see you tomorrow.